That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we got some guests this morning. Do you want to introduce them to everybody?
We do. We have Mr. David from Texas. Good morning, Mr. David.
Good morning.
And we've got Mr. Josh from Louisiana. Good morning, Mr. Josh.
Good morning.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning, men.
Absolutely. Yep, thanks for joining us. Guys, got to let you know it's a brisk 44 degrees here at the Radio Ranch. We wanted to make sure you knew that this morning. We've got our coffee and sweatshirts on, and it's a little brisk out here, but we thank all of you for joining us this June 24th, Saturday morning, and looks like it's going to be a beautiful day here, and I hope you have a beautiful day there. Well, Jason, do you want to open us up in prayer?
I do. Good morning, Heavenly Father. We come before you this morning, and we thank you for all the many blessings that you give us each and every day. Father, I thank you for this day that you have made. Father, we ask for you to guide us and direct us today. We pray that you guide us and direct us as we go out on the radio waves. Father, I pray that you just guide us and direct us in the direction that we are to go. We pray for your blessings and your hands to be upon this program. We pray that it be a blessing to the saints and a blow to the snakes, Father. I pray that you bring down these snakes and these terrors and these evil ones lower and lower, Father, and that you allow your people to rise higher and higher. I thank you for so many things, Father, that you have opened our eyes to and that you have given us. And right now, I just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us and ask to be forgiven of our sins, known, unknown. And, Father, do ask for you to continue to reveal our sins to us and that you can assist us in making those corrections in our lives. I pray that as we move forward, Father, that we can be a light into a dark world. I pray that you use us in a mighty and powerful way as we lift up our hands to you and we say, here we are, Father. Use us. Use us, Father, as we cry out to you. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, didn't know, Jason, if you had something specific you wanted to start with this morning.
Not specifically. I want to get into some things that are happening in the world here in a minute, but I'll tell you what, one of the things that I wanted to talk about is I was really convicted when Mr. David, when he was talking in Branson, and I was also really convicted when Josh was Zach was talking in Branson this year. And you know, two of the things that really came to my mind were I guess the first one was we pray so often, and we pray it, and I prayed it for a long time. You know, forgive me my sins, known and unknown. And one of the things that David got up there and he said, he's like, we pray for that, and we pray for that, and we pray that. And he said, I've heard that for a long time, but, you know, why don't we try to figure out where our sin is so we can get it out of our life? And, kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. And I'm glad it did. But it was one of those things that is so powerful, and it makes so much sense, and it's so simple. It's like, okay, you really want the power. You want, and I thought about, you know, so many of these people that I was talking with that they want the power, they want this, they want more weaponry, but they don't want the responsibility. And I think that that's what we have out there as far as a lot of Christians are concerned. You know, they want this and they want that. They just don't want the responsibility. And part of that responsibility is taking control of your actions. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yes, it does.
The verse that I've turned to and underlined and I've been looking and reading was 2 Samuel 22:21. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hand, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not acted wickedly against my God. For all his ordinances were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless towards them, and I kept myself from iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness.
And amen.
There's only one more thing. And that's through the blood, and that's through repentance, which is what you're talking about, and repenting of our sin, seeing our sin, and asking for forgiveness, and then not returning to that same sin.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, is changing, repenting and changing from a sinful lifestyle. We've said it before, that the big difference between a Christian and a sinner, the sin is still in the land, but the Christian's running away from it, whereas the sinner is embracing it and running towards it. And we've got to be running away from it, for sure. David, you had something?
Yes, sir. The more I've studied into what we're talking about, there's a lot of things that we have lost, a lot of knowledge that our people have lost over, particularly about the last 100 years, from what I can see. And I think part of it is being willing to change our heart, regardless of what we're going to discover we need to renew from our lives as far as sin. And some of it's kind of hard to choke down, because in the way we've been trained to think since we were born and lived in this world, it can be kind of difficult to receive it. But we all receive the truth that we've received so far, and I believe that we can all continue on that journey and get to that point where we're, as the apostles, as the prophets of old were, they were holy men. God used them to glorify himself and gave them that power as they needed it to do the miracles and the things that they did. And so I hope that we all can prepare our hearts, because I think all of us men have something to add to that, have some instruction to give to each other to get to that point.
Yeah, I would agree, and I think that that's one of the things that, you know, I think that I think there's a lot there. As after we talked, I've been looking into a lot of different things, and you know, it some of the stuff it hits you, and it's like, I never thought of it this way, or I never applied it this way, or I never even knew that before. And you start looking at it, and it's like, huh, okay, this is interesting, but it's like God's opening doors for us, too. You know, God, I mean, piece by piece, you know, one thing at a time. And, you know, so often that's the way God works. You know, it's like you ask for it, I'm going to give it to you, here it is. But it's also take it or leave it.
Yes,
you know, that's been the problem with so many of the churches in the world today, is they pick and choose from the Bible of what parts of the Bible they want to apply to themselves.
They do, and they allow, because they practice lawlessness, they allow that sin to remain. And, you know, Romans 6:1, are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? Because that's what you hear. Oh, God forgives them. Grace, grace, grace. He has grace and mercy on the sinner. Yeah, he has grace and mercy to forgive so that you repent and change, not that you continue in your sin. And it goes on, may it never be. How shall we who died this sin still live in it? And you're right, if it's still there, then we ask our Heavenly Father, Lord, show it to me. What is it? And I think this is a great double witness. You know, our brother Steve brought a communion message, I want to say last year, and along the same lines, that if there's sin there, what do? You ask, what is it, Lord? What is it I need to change in my life? What is it I need to change in my thoughts? You know, what do I need to get out of my life to get lined up with you and to be able to do what you want me to do? And if you ask, the Bible says, you shall receive. But you have to ask with the right motives. And when you ask genuinely, God will let you know.
Well, I'm stepping back even before Steve brought that out. Our pastor brought that out years ago.
Yes.
And, you know, several of the things that he brought out were, you know, if you are... If you're in sin, you know, ask the Heavenly Father to show you where it is, and he said he'll reveal it to you. He also brought out the deception detection prayer, and we actually published a prayer, and those were two things that people did not want to do. You know, they didn't want to know. I remember talking to him about it time and time again, and basically we came to the conclusion is, you know, there's people that don't want to realize what sin they're in because they want to live in that naivety, and also there's people that don't want to believe that they are deceived.
Yes.
And you know, the Bible says that we are deceived. I mean, one of the scriptures that I think about often is, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Found in Galatians. And you know, as you read that, it goes through a whole slew of things. And it's a place you don't want to be. But, you know, when we came out with that deception detection prayer, there was a lot of people that wouldn't pray it. And I remember talking to them personally, and they didn't pray it because I'm not deceived. And they had made up in their mind that they were not deceived. And, you know, I thought it was a very powerful message when the pastor brought it out on
Yes.
the deception detection prayer. I learned a lot from it, and I prayed it on a regular basis. And there were things that were revealed to me where I thought that I thought I was right on an issue, and the Holy Spirit convicted me that I was wrong. And with research and time and effort, I was able to figure out what the truth was. But you know, it was because I asked. And
yes.
You know, like the scripture says, you know, it's you ask and you shall receive.
Amen.
It's very humbling to realize and to admit that you've been deceived. To me it is, because a lot of the times whenever you see it, it's so simple. And you think, well, how in the world could I have missed this? You know, and it's just, it's a humbling experience for me.
Yeah,
Yeah, I agree. I've been deceived pretty good a few times, and it's, but I'm glad that I was, because I sometimes get a little bit like Paul. My head gets a little bit bloated, and so the Lord puts a thorn in my side to deflate it. But,
Folks, Jason, I guess we can open the phone lines up. If somebody out there has a comment they want to call in, the number is 307-745-5913. It's Saturday morning, the 24th, last Saturday. I do believe it is the last Saturday in June. And folks, you may wonder, where do these guys come up with this stuff? Well, it's a secret. Is what it is. It's in a book called the Bible. And if you'll read your Bible, you too will be privy to these secrets. You too will have, if you read the Bible with as Josh said, with a humble spirit and in humility, not thinking, well, I know it all, or not thinking, well, I'm going to prove these guys wrong. Heck, even if you do think that, if you will read your Bible and ask for the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you and to open it up, and God has made a way. That is one of the things about baptism that so many people miss out there in the false church world, is we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when we are properly baptized, biblically baptized. And that Holy Spirit guides and directs us. It opens up the Word. It allows us to see when it says, ask and you shall receive. Well, if you don't believe that, if you don't do that, if you don't ask, you will not receive. It is as simple as that. And so, read your Bible. We put out a Bible reading plan that is a tool to get you to read your Bible. We've been reading through the Psalms this week, and boy, if you ever get down, you ever get where, you know, the world's coming against you, if you read the Psalms, you see that David was that way. The writer of the Psalms, there was times he wrote, you know, Lord, are you going to be mad forever? Are you never going to bless your people again? Are you ever going to hear my prayers? There were times that David got down. But if you keep reading in there, you see that usually by the end of the chapter, he's saying, no, Lord, that's just me. And we know that you are faithful, and that you will always be here with us and deliver us from the hands of those that hate us. And he always has. And anyway, it's encouraging, no matter where you're reading, whether you're reading for history and to be reminded of some of the stories that are in there for our learning, or if you are reading through the Psalms and the Proverbs for encouragement, for direction. But reading is only half of it. After you read it, that ties in with what we've been talking about, that sin. If you see that, and God will convict you on this sometimes, if you see that maybe you read in there that maybe you're doing something that's not right, maybe there's something in your life that doesn't line up with the Bible. Well, if there is, you got to change. We don't take a Sharpie and mark the stuff out of the Bible. No, we take a Sharpie to our life, and we mark things out of our life. We take an eraser, and we erase things out of our life, and we change our ways to be more like His. And we try to change our perspective and our attitude to be more like what God and what Jesus Christ put out and tell us to be in His Word. But if you're not reading, if you're not listening, your faith is not going to increase, and you are not going to grow closer to God if you are not reading His Word, if you're not applying what His Word, applying His Word to your life. So we're halfway through the calendar year, halfway through the Bible reading plan. Even if you got behind, hey, grab the plan just and start. We finish up today in Psalms. And it finishes up in Psalms 83. And, O Lord, do not be silent. And He is not. He is not. He hears the pleas of His people. And And Psalms 83 that we wrap up with today starts that way. Oh God, do not remain quiet, do not be silent, and do not be still. And he is not. He is not. When David prayed that thousands of years ago, God heard him, and if we pray it today, God hears it. And he replies. So be reading your Bible. Psalms this week, Proverbs next week. It'll bless you if you'll read it.
So back to this evening that we were talking about. I know we all learned that this section is a two-part of sin, the one that's doing the deceiving and also the one that's being deceived. And sometimes we can be both parties because sometimes we deceive ourselves because we want to make it to we've got a certain goal that we want to get to. And so we deceive ourselves into thinking that this is the right thing to do or that we can apply the word in this way to validate what we want to do in our flesh. But, you know, the Bible talks about deceiving and being deceived. So I was wondering if y'all had some thoughts in mind of some of the telltale signs that someone is deceiving you. I know we've had a little bit of experience on that. Maybe things that people can look for that are red flags that don't necessarily mean that someone's a deceiver, but the job scene that's been present on a
I think one of the most powerful things is you know, a prayer, you know, and praying. And when you got the Holy Spirit in you, you should know. I mean, that should be, I think that's number one.
Definitely. I know Pastor used to, I've heard him talk about when somebody strokes you, when somebody strokes your ego, and they're just building you up, and that's somebody to watch, you know, somebody just over the top, and not necessarily saying in every case that that's somebody that's against you, but that's the way that's one of the tools that they use, is they use flattery to try to get in close to you and win you over.
Yeah, well, one of the scriptures that I had pulled up here, and I think it kind of goes along that line, but it's Proverbs 24. 24 and 25, it says, whoever says to the guilty, you are innocent, will be accursed by the people and denounced by nations. But it will go well with those who convict the guilty, and rich blessings will come on them. We know that's truth because it comes from the Word of God. And I think one of the things is you know it by the Word of God. It's like, you know, if somebody says one thing, and the Word of God says another, well, we know they're a liar.
And right in line with the scripture, you just said, I'm looking at Galatians 4:16, so if I become your enemy by telling you the truth.
Amen.
And a lot of times that happens.
It does.
Yes. Yes.
And,
yes, it does.
And to be honest, I've gotten mad at people before for telling me the truth when I was deceived and when I believed something that was contrary to the Word of God and I hadn't measured it up. And, if you're humble and if you look it up and see if they're telling you the truth, well, then you got a chance to repent, to turn and get your act together.
Amen.
Yep.
And our pastor taught that. He even said, how many times did he say, I know we've all heard him from the pulpit, don't believe me. Believe the Word. I'm just pointing you to the Word. And it is our individual responsibility to do that, to look it up, like you said, to look it up, to research it, to look into it, to see, to study, to see if it is correct or not, what we're hearing, whether it's a friend telling us something that's biblical or from the Bible. 2 Timothy 3, under the subtitle of Difficult Times Will Come, you know, it tells us evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, So the distinction is there. Is this is happening, and we see it happening all around the world, all in our country, in our state. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of. And it goes on, that because you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's when it goes on and says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And that comes back to that man of God. I think the way that we aren't deceived is that we balance, or we judge what we hear or what we see, or what we're told, with the Word of God. And that is why. With all Scripture, because all Scripture is given for our, like it says, for our training, for our reproof, for correction, for teaching, so that we may be equipped.
Well, I think that it's really good in Proverbs 28, verse 5. It says, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. If we want to understand all things, that to understand is how we're deceived, where we're deceived. I mean, I think that's pretty much understanding. That's part of everything, is having that knowledge.
Yes.
Verse 1 says, evil men do not understand justice. I think that that's one of the things, that we don't have justice in the land. You don't have justice, and you know our people have turned away from God, because if they were seeking God and they had God in their lives, they would understand justice. But those who seek the Lord understand all things. I mean, that's what the Scripture says, and that's true. I mean, number one thing we got to go after is Christ in our life.
Amen.
We have Christ in our life, you'll understand these things. And I think understanding these things and the things that we're talking about is part of not being deceived. Because I think that's one of the things that the Scripture is talking an awful lot about.
Yes.
And ignorance is no excuse. I was thinking about an example I just gave minutes ago. You know, if we're running 100 miles an hour down the interstate and the trooper pulls you over and you tell him, oh, I didn't see the speed limit sign. Well, he don't care. You're supposed to know.
Oh, I usually say I didn't realize how fast I was going. He knows. He knows how fast the speed limit is.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to say too that if we seek these gifts of God and we're not receiving them, there's an obvious reason for it. It's something that we're not doing that He tells us to do, that He commands us to do.
Yes.
And as the Word tells us, we don't want to seek those gifts from another source. We're His bride. And so if we don't do it His way and we go somewhere else to get those gifts, we can bring His jealousy and His wrath upon us. And I think that's something that we should keep in mind.
Well, and I think that ties in with the scripture found in Psalms 37, 27 through 29. It says, turn from evil and do good, then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake His faithful ones. Wrongdoers will be completely destroyed. The offspring of the wicked will perish. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. You know, I mean, and as you read those scriptures, turn from evil and do good, I mean, that's awful hard for a lot of people. But, you know, I mean, you've got a contract there. You turn from evil, you do good, you will dwell in the land forever. I mean, that's huge.
Yes. It is. It is. You know, David, the thought occurs to me when you say that about the man that was invited into the wedding, right? Open the doors, invite him in. And so people come in, but here was a man at the wedding feast that he was not clothed in Christ, is what it was. He was not clothed in Christ. He did not have the wedding garments on. And Jesus Christ says, friend, how did you get here? You do not belong here. And the man was speechless, and they threw him out. And that is how the kingdom will be. You do not make it into the kingdom if you are not clothed with Christ. If you have not died with him in repentance and in water baptism, if you have not shared in his death, you will not share in the glory of his resurrection. That is as true as it can be. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 11, it says, "It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. And if we deny him, he will also deny us." And unfortunately, so many are deceived into denying him, into denying his simple plan of salvation. Repent and be baptized, and wash away your sins. And, you know, it doesn't mean just get baptized. It doesn't mean just repent. It doesn't mean just believe. Certainly, we have to believe, but then we follow through with that. And, you know, we do not want to be, and we will not be, told, how are you here without your wedding? Where's your wedding garments? No, I know the men we're talking to, and we hope that the people tuning in are clothed in Christ, that you have your name written in that Lamb's Book of Life, that you have repented of your sin and been baptized to wash that sin away, so that you are clothed in Christ. Where is it? Galatians 3:27? Is that where it tells us that? That we have to be. Like it or not, believe it or not, doesn't matter what your pastor's told you. Yeah, Galatians 3:27. "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." There's the wedding garments. So we can be the bride, the spotless bride once again. You don't get that just by believing, folks, because the demons themselves believe. They believe and know that Jesus is the Christ, and they shudder. And we are to be, don't you want to be better than the demons? Anyway, David, that...
Well, I liken this to a man and his wife, and it's a... One of our wives, we told her no to a request to say she wanted a different house or whatever it was, and we told her no. And she went to another man because we wouldn't give it to her. Imagine your wrath. Imagine your jealousy. And that's what we suffer from the hand of our God. If we go anywhere else seeking what he has to give us, we'll just do it his way. And it's something I think that we need to take pretty seriously.
Amen.
I agree with that. One of the other scriptures I wrote down was Micah 6:8, and it says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And, you know, I mean, that's some of the things that, I mean, as we're talking about, getting back on the road to loving God again, getting there where we, you know, people want the power, but they don't want the responsibility, is what I think a lot of it boils down to. And we've got to desire that because, you know, I mean, you look at the world and see where the world's headed. You know, somebody better step up to the plate and take responsibility over it.
Agreed.
Yeah, but you just hit the nail on the head, you know, with that power, there's that responsibility. I was talking to a man the other day who was one of my supervisors, and we were talking about power, and we were talking about authority, and he said, you know, there's one level of power in which you take that power and you use it to discipline someone, to invoke your wrath. You know, there are some people that are leaders, or actually I would say those are bosses, that they really like, you know, they feed off of taking that power and hammering somebody with it, you know, throwing the book at them. He said, but showing real power is whenever you go there with that person and you know you've got your power, you've got the power to do that, but you don't belittle them or tear them down. You work with them, you try to teach them, and you bring them up, and you have mercy on them. He was just trying to convey to me his thoughts on being a good supervisor, and I parallel that being a good shepherd. You know, think about the way Jesus handles us, and so many times, by the law, he should really just throw the book at us.
Yes.
But he doesn't. He has mercy on us, and he gives us another chance. And you know, we don't lose our job. We take that and we grow and we learn from it. We're better for it on the back side if we seek him and let him work with us on it. And I thought that's some pretty good wisdom coming from him. Because I know he's not a Christian. He's a worldly fella. But it does. It makes you think, you know, about which side of that do you land on.
Amen. That's a great example, Josh. It really is.
Well, it's important. I mean, and that's where we got to get to. I mean, get there to where somebody's taking responsibility for it.
And that's what Christ did, Jason, isn't it? He took responsibility. He said, Lord, don't punish them. I'll take it. And he is our example, and that's what we are to do. You know, in Hebrews 3, it says, encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And I know that's what we do here on the broadcast. It's what we try to do on the nightly broadcast, is to encourage one another so that we aren't hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Because, like was talked about at the beginning of the program, how do you know you're deceived? Our pastor taught that. If you're deceived, you're believing a lie, you're believing something that's not true. Maybe you're not believing the truth of God or the word of God the way that it should be. And if you're deceived, you're deceived. You don't know it. And you can be hardened. Your heart can be hardened to where you don't realize that mercy and grace that our Heavenly Father shows. And so we don't want to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And we know that sin is transgressing His law. It doesn't do away with that at all. There is right and wrong. And sin is sin, no matter who's doing it, or no matter where it is. And we are to repent of that and believe His word.
Yes, and I think if the Holy Spirit tries to show us where that sin is, and if we ignore that conviction and we don't study that out, the Bible teaches us to test the spirits, and we do that through the Word of God.
Absolutely.
But if we ignore Him long enough, if we deny that long enough, the Holy Spirit will become grieved, and then we may never find it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
I would hope.
Yeah, it'll grow. That Holy Spirit will become less and less in your life, I think. In a situation like that, David, I think that was what happens. I've seen that happen in people before, and I think is what happens is I think that they get less and less of it and less of it all the time. And I think if they continue to ignore it and to continue to ignore what's being told to them, I think I think God looks down and says, okay, well, you didn't want to listen to me when I told you this. You didn't want to listen to me when I told you that. It's kind of like a husband and wife relationship, like we were talking about earlier. Pretty soon, he just don't even want to talk to her anymore.
Amen. Well, we have, again, back to the Bible, we have biblical examples. Saul, when he was king, he was blessed and led by the Holy Spirit until he turned away, until he looked to others, like you said, David. He looked to others. He went outside of his bounds, outside of God's plan, and God removed his spirit from him, replaced it with an evil spirit. The Bible says that, believe it or not. I didn't write it. And we certainly don't want to fall into that category. We don't. We want to pray. Lord, if I'm deceived, forgive me and show me where I'm deceived. And forgive me of it, Lord. I repent. I repent of being deceived. And I don't want to be deceived anymore. So Holy Spirit, show me any deception in my life. I mean, our pastor taught us that. And if we pray it earnestly, he'll show it to us. Now, what we do with that, that's the next step. That's the next step.
Yes, and as men of God, we need to have a heart for God, too.
Yes.
And speak from experience on this, because I have been through this with a wife, and it is a heart-wrenching experience. And we don't want to put our Lord through a heart-wrenching experience. He's already done that. He's paid that price. He's been humiliated and beaten and tortured to death. So let's not do that to him again and stay the course with him.
Amen. Amen.
I think Proverbs 28 says a whole lot of what we've been talking about this morning. It says, starting in verse 1, it says, "The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as lions. By the transgression of a land, many are its princes. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, so it endures. A poor man who oppresses the lowly is like a driving rain which leaves no food. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but those who keep the law strive with them. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked through, though he be rich. He who keeps the law is a discerning son, but he who is a companion of gluttons humiliates his father. He who increases his wealth by interest and usury gathers it for him who is gracious to the poor. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination." And I think that that's one of the things right there that we've been talking about is, you know, I mean, we don't want our prayers to be an abomination to God.
Amen.
You know, and that's what we turn away from the law of God. That's what we do. We become disgraceful to Him. I mean, you know, our prayers, you think about it, it's like you think about your prayers not being heard. And if you ever stop and wonder, okay, hey, why are my prayers being heard? And how many people stop and actually think, okay, hey, maybe my prayers are an abomination to God. Maybe they are disgusting when they come before His throne. You know, and if so, why? Maybe I've turned away from the law of God.
Amen. Amen. Excellent point. Excellent point.
And, you know, I mean, people want more power. They want more power all the time. It's one of the things we talked about in Branson. You know, they're after this power, they're after that power, they're after a lot of different things. But, you know, hey, we've been given an awful lot of power. We've got a lot of power. We've got the authority. You know, these things have been given to us, and we don't use what we got. You know, it's not for lack of trying on some part, but on a lot of people's part, it is. You want the weapons, but and you want the power, but you don't know how to use what you've got already.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. As men of God, we are to be disciplined in our Christian life. Doesn't mean we don't have a good time. Doesn't mean we don't laugh and joke around with each other and smile and have joy. That is what God wants for us. That is what Jesus Christ wants for us. He wants our joy to be made full. But we have to be disciplined And, you know, that discipline is not always enjoyable when you're going through it at times. When we are disciplined, but we endure. Just as Christ had discipline in prayer, he had discipline in his life. And another meaning of the word, he was disciplined by God. That is how he learned obedience. And that is how, you know, we learn that. Hebrews 12, it is for discipline that you endure. For God deals with us as sons. He loves his children. But he directs
us. Amen.
But he directs us. And he wants us to love him back. And to endure when we're disciplined. So that we will learn the life lessons that he is trying to teach us.
But I think that we as men of God have a far better and joyous life than the world has.
Yes.
While they're out drinking, partying it up, they're suffering. And they don't know why they're suffering, and that's why they continue to do that. And thank God that he has called us out, and may we be able to call them out and get them out of it.
Amen.
Well, I think that the scripture that backs that up is Psalms 106:33, which that was the other one that was on my list this morning. It said, "Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right." You know, and if you think about that, I mean, you know, those are the ones that are blessed. And blessed by God is joy. And I believe that that's, you know, I mean, that he's the author of joy. He's the author of so many of those things. And that's what we do. When we're in Christ and we're following his ways, we got it. And that's the place to be.
Amen.
Not saying that there won't
be. Sometimes it may feel like hell, but it really ain't.
Right.
Not saying that there won't be tests and trials and then
oh, absolutely.
The time. But all in all, he works all things for our good.
Amen.
You know, we're loving him and speaking him. Jason, right down from where you were looking at Proverbs 28:13, he who conceals his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. How blessed is a man who fears always. And that's a key ingredient right there, is fearing the Lord, fearing the penalty of breaking his laws, you know, and the word is, it tells us, you know, if you do this, this is going to be the repercussion. If you do this, this is going to be the repercussion. It's cause and effect. And,
amen.
A big part of that is fearing the Lord and knowing that he's telling us the truth. He gives us his word. If you do this, this is what's going to happen.
Amen.
I'm thankful for it.
Yes. Josh,
I am too.
Should be a word of encouragement. We in Branson, we had 7 baptisms, true, good, honest, faithful, proper, biblical baptisms. And in one of them there was a young lady, turned 20 this past year, had been to a couple baptism classes, raised in a Christian home. And we got to talk, I think it was Thursday night or Friday night, I think, with her and her father. And she wanted to get baptized, and she got baptized. And but one of the things that she said in her conversation has stuck with me, and she said, you know, I don't want to disappoint God. I don't want to disappoint God. And I thought, you know, praise the Lord. Here is this next generation that are concerned about God, that love God, and that don't want to disappoint him, that want to live their lives according to what he says in his word. And it was really encouraging to me that you know, she understood baptism and understands that she's not just a child anymore, that in the eyes of God she's an adult, and she needs to and she repented of her sins and was washed in the blood, and it was an encouragement, and I think that falls right in line with your comment there, Josh, that it's that's how we should live our lives. God says if we follow him, Jason, you read it time and time again. You do what's right, you'll be blessed. Blessed is the man who seeks justice. Blessed is the man who seeks God, who seeks his will. And so if we're blessed for seeking and following him, then we're cursed if we don't. And I'd rather be blessed. Like you said, David, those blessings are a whole lot better than the curses of the It may seem happy and all that right now, but it's not. It's just that's that deceitfulness of sin. You know, folks, if you're going through hard times, if you're not, if you are unsure, if you're having problems in your life and wondering, I encourage you, read Hebrews 12. Read Hebrews 12, because that chapter talks about discipline. It talks about the trials and the tribulations that we go through in our lives, but it is an encouraging scripture. It reminds us that Christ himself went through the things that we go through living in this world. And he was tempted and yet did not sin. And he is our example. And because he did that and went to the cross to die for our sins, for our sicknesses, for our diseases, because he became a curse for us, we don't have to walk in that curse. We don't have to walk in that and have that bitterness in our lives and that sin in our lives if we believe and acknowledge and repent and do what he tells us to do. Then we can accept that free gift of salvation that he gives, because he's given it. He's paid the price. It's paid in full, and it's there. It's there for our taking. But like that man at the wedding feast, not everybody gets it. You know, Jesus himself said, didn't he say in Matthew when they asked him, Lord, are there just a few being saved? I think he had just talked about straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few that find it. Isn't that what Jesus said? When his disciples said, well, Lord, are just a few going to be saved? He said, yeah. And that's a paraphrase. Yeah, just a few. Just the ones that will be doers of the word and not hearers only. Well, guys, I don't know about you, but I've sure been encouraged this morning.
That's one of the things. I was trying to get Zach to come on the radio with us this morning, and he had to work. But I was talking with him the other day, you know, I mean, basically, as he was really encouraged about Branson and about being out there and being able to share some of the things with the men. And, you know, he wasn't sure he was going to be able to make it. And, you know, he just made up his mind. He's like, no. He's like, God wants me there. I'm going to be there. And he got back, and he's really taken a lot of things seriously, and he's gotten involved in a church, and he was, you know, he goes through these discouraging moments where he's in there. I'm trying to give him the milk. I'm trying to give him the milk, and he's like, you're choking on the milk of the word. You know, he's like, I don't know if I could water it down anymore. But he's like, oh. And he's like, he called me the other day, and he said, you know, he said, I brought a message, and he said, basically, they told me it was crap. And I said, what? I said, well, I was encouraged by it, because he sent me a copy of it. I said, I enjoyed that message. That was the message that you heard last Tuesday.
Yes.
And we talked about it, and I said, no, I was really encouraged. And he said, really? And I said, yeah, and we talked about it, and basically, his attitude is, you know, he said, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to kick ass, and that's what I'm going to do, you know, and I'm doing it for Christ. I you know, he's like, I have nothing to lose. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm called to do, and that's what every one of us should be called to do. And he said, you know, Ed, he said, the pastor would be ashamed of us if that's not what we were doing.
Amen.
And I'm there 100%. I mean, I completely agree with that. And that's what we got to do. You know, get out there and you know, a lot of people just become comfortable. They become comfortable in their sin. They become comfortable with their head in the ground. They become comfortable with not wanting to offend people. And that ain't what it's about. I mean, it's know, you learn a whole lot when you're offended, when somebody, steps in your Cheerios.
Amen. And again, Jason, it's like you said, but it is for discipline that you endure when that happens. Then you're disciplined. You go back and restudy the word and say, well, where did I go wrong? Or, you know, what could I have said? Or how could I have helped that person? Instead of knocking him out for stepping in my Cheerios. But you're right. And that message on Tuesday night that we played of Zach's, if somebody was offended by that, they are steeped in sin. That's all I can say. And that's archived at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. If you want to go back and listen to it, it was a little half-hour message he had given, like a Sunday school, and it was a history. And he asked, hey, here this promise is given to Abraham. How come we don't hear about this in the churches? I want to know. This is a good promise. I want to know about it. And
one of the things that we talked about after that, before we played that program, kind of the rest of the story was one of the things that we realized is, like, it's not necessarily that they were really that ticked off at Zach about it, but they were convicted of sin in their lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, and a lot of times that's what it is. It's like, you know, you see somebody that gets upset with something that you say, and hey, you might have just struck a nerve with them.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And when you strike that nerve with it, they might not like you. Because all of a sudden, it's like, you know, I mean, it's they got a wound there on their body, and there's something wrong. And all of a sudden, you know, you're sitting there prodding around there, and they get sore over it.
Amen. Well, guys, we're about out of time. Thank you so much for joining us here on Coffee with the Wranglers. And what a day. What a day. David, thanks so much for bearing the heat there in Texas and joining us. And Josh, same thing there. You guys just had a little tropical storm or hurricane come through, didn't you? Did you guys survive that okay?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well,
Well, good.
I think that thing sucked all the clouds out of Texas and sent them over to Josh's territory.
Must have. Well, maybe he needed a little rain.
Yeah,
and
we got him.
David, maybe you needed to work on your tan. I don't know. So, but guys, well, thanks again, and thanks so much for joining us, Jason. Of course, thanks, and join us for church tomorrow. We're going to have a house full. We've got some guests coming, and we're having fellowship dinner after church. And so, but you can join us on the website, scripturesforamerica.org. We're updating servers, updating broadcasts, and so we're. I guarantee you, Jason's hard at work on that type of stuff, but we do encourage you to join us. You can join us at starting at 8:30 in the morning Mountain Time. That's 9:30 Central and 10:30 on the East Coast, and we'll have a blessing for you, because we will be honoring and praising God, and when we do that, He blesses us. Well, thanks for joining us, and hopefully, we'll see you at church in the morning.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them.